If you have your Bible, turn with me, please, over to 1 Thessalonians 5 and follow along as I read beginning at verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place. And through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is here, so that even in these very familiar words, we can hear what you would have to say to us today. Encourage where we can be encouraged. Challenge where we need to be challenged. Take your word, your servant. May we handle your word accurately, communicate it clearly, so that your word may have your desired impact upon our hearts and upon our lives. We've come this morning to hear from you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I think I can get a witness. We have to be. We must have so much to be thankful for. Still, we have to be reminded from time to time to give thanks. The passage we were just read, what follows are five commands, not five suggestions. These are not instructions that you can go home and ponder. Obedience is what we are called to. The first, verse 16, rejoice always. Rejoice. Being joyful, which is different than being happy. Happy has to do with what's going on around you. God's word doesn't say, even if it could, be happy when you have a flat tire. But you can rejoice if you've got a spare. Or, and this has happened to us more than once, you find the flat tire in your garage. Happy? No, I've got places to be, things to do. Rejoice? Yeah, because I'm home and it's in the garage and I do know where the spare is. Rejoice. Always. It is an attitude of joy that should permeate all that we are. We read earlier from Psalm 100 in verse 3, we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Should that bring joy to your heart? We are His people. We are His. We are the sheep of His pasture. Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, I know for a lot of you, I am the old preacher, but I heard this back when I wasn't the old preacher. The old preacher said, if the Lord is my shepherd, I don't need anything else, which is absolutely true. In that, again, he doesn't call us to be happy all the time, but he does call us to rejoice. To have within us that attitude of joy. reminded of who's in charge, who loves us. Nothing happens that doesn't go through His approval first. Nothing happens that He can't use to improve us, to draw us closer to Himself, sometimes to draw us closer to one another. Nothing has ever happened that took Him by surprise. So we can be joyful. Rejoice always. The second one does require a little bit of explanation. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Surely it goes without saying that that doesn't mean go through life with your eyes closed, your fingers interlocked, or whatever you normally consider to think of as your prayer posture. No. This requires that we understand, one, that we are always in God's presence. We don't go anywhere to get there. We are always there. We are always in His presence. So secondly, practicing the presence of God, practicing an attitude of prayer. Did you? I'll just speak for myself. I know that I'm guilty of immediately speaking those please prayers. You know, God, please take care of this, or please take care. And I'm really good at that. I don't have to go anywhere. I know I can just ask God to please do this. But what about when I arrive somewhere safely? Thankful? Were you thankful this morning? Yeah, the roads were a little wet, but you got here great, got here fine. Heat's on, light's on. Anybody say thank you today? I haven't. That's a part of what Paul is calling us to. Being aware of all of the things that we have to express to our Heavenly Father. And realizing that I can express them immediately. In the moment. Because He's right here. And I'm right here. We are together. The one right in the middle is the one from which everyone else moves, and that is give thanks. Verse 18. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in everything. Sometimes that's going to mean saying thank you for something you don't know for sure yet how or why you're going to be thankful. You get the diagnosis. You get the pink slip. You get the raise in the rent. You get the whatever. Well, remember, this is a command. You've got to give thanks. So with an attitude of joy, understanding none of this happened outside of God's plan, so we are together here, I have to come to the conclusion that there's some way in which, whatever this is, God's going to use it to my benefit, to draw me closer to Him, to teach me new dependence upon Him. So give thanks in everything. Why? That's the last part of verse 18. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I take that two ways. What is God's will? To be thankful. Give thanks. Ever wonder what God's will is for your life? Be thankful. That's usually not what we're after, but what Scripture says, God's will, be thankful. But also, because whatever this is, it's God's will for you. Again, not an accident, not something that surprised Him, but something that He can use, whatever it is. However small, however dramatic or tragic, He can use it for you because it is His will for you. And in that, we can be, we must be thankful. Do not quench the Spirit, verse 19. Paul has several different attitudes that we need to address with regards to the Spirit and how we understand Him and His work in our lives. Here he says, do not quench the Spirit. What does that mean? Well, it's a little easier to illustrate than to explain or define. To quench something is to after repeatedly ignoring something, getting to the place where you no longer even hear it anymore. The Holy Spirit indwells us upon salvation. He's the guarantor of the fact that we are born again. He's proof that God loves us. He's proof that we are His children. He's there to illuminate Scripture, shine a light on it so we can understand it better. He's there to guide and direct us. But we have to pay attention. We have to listen. And just as with being filled with the Holy Spirit or grieving or not grieving the Holy Spirit, we can go through seasons. There have been times in my life when I have felt especially attuned to the Holy Spirit. I can sense His leading and guiding in my life through the Word. I'll be reading something and it's the next chapter after the chapter I read the day before or whatever. And all of a sudden I'm understanding something better than I've ever understood it before. And that's not because I've suddenly gotten a lot smarter. It's because I'm listening to the Holy Spirit within me. There have been times when I've looked at my day and said, boy, I wonder if I should do this. Well, how did this even get into my mind? Is this the Holy Spirit trying to direct or redirect my day? I pray about it. Sure enough, that's exactly what's going on. But there have also been times when I've ignored it. And I've come to the end of the day and I've said, I should have. I now realize why you were impressing that upon me. and I ignored it and I didn't. Paul's saying, don't do that. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't get to the point in your life where you're not even listening anymore. Expecting Him to speak, expecting Him to illuminate His Word, help you to understand it and apply it to your life. Don't do that. We can ignore Him to the point where we no longer hear Him. Paul says, do not do that. Then finally, last three verses, he says, do not despise prophetic utterances. Now here again, just a little bit of explanation. Remember, when the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica, he couldn't say to them, now turn in your Bibles to, because most of them didn't have one, and the only one available to them was what we call the Old Testament, the First Testament. So there were apostles and others going from community to community, synagogue to synagogue, church to church, sharing God's word, that is, what they had been taught. Some, like the apostles, direct from Jesus. They were just sharing what Jesus had taught them. Then there were those like the Apostle Paul, who met Jesus later. And then there were others yet who were teaching what they had heard the apostles teach. And so Paul is saying to the church, saying to you and to me, do not despise those prophetic utterances. Don't despise what you hear, what is being taught to you in church. But notice, first thing he says, but examine everything carefully. Again, first century, church in Thessalonica, no one had a Bible in their lap. If the pastor was teaching from this letter, can you imagine that? You get to church on Sunday morning and pastor says, guess what I've got? I got a letter from Paul. And he starts to read. Now the problem is most of you don't know how to read. So I could be reading anything. They don't have a copy of it like you do. Did he get that right? Did he say that right? Did he read that right? So Paul says, examine it carefully. When you hear something that perhaps they say came from me, when you hear something that they say Jesus said, examine it carefully. Does it fit with everything else that you've been taught? With everything else that Jesus said? With everything else that I've said? With everything else that the prophets wrote? Examine it all carefully. You may remember that one of Paul's greatest one of the churches that he had the highest regard for was the church in Berea. Because he said, you know, those guys, they listened to me on Sunday, and then they went home and they fact-checked everything. He said, that's great. Because that means they don't even take everything I say at face value. Even me, they check and make sure I did it right. That's what he's talking about here. Everything. Examine everything carefully. Just because the pastor who said it has said stuff like that for years, surely we can trust him. No. check it out. Make sure that what's been said is true, that it's right. When you do, hold fast to what is good. Hold fast to what is good. And I guess I would put in parentheses, if, you know, if he didn't get it right, find out why. Did he just misspeak? Has he overlooked something and you have the privilege of showing him something that he's missed? Okay. Hold fast to that which is good, because he's not going to get it right all the time. But here's the warning: abstain from every form of evil. Down through church history, there have been men who have taken God's word, twisted it, and taught evil. Led churches, led countries in evil. Paul is saying, fact check them. Double check. Make sure that what you're hearing is true. Make sure that what you're being called to is true. And if what you're being called to is evil, ignore it. Walk away from it. Rejoice always. It's an attitude of joy because we know who's in charge. Pray without ceasing, because he's always available. You never have to go anywhere. You never have to do anything. You never have to wonder if he's busy with somebody else. He's always available. Pray without ceasing. Don't at any point in your day stop and think, I got to remember that for later. No. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in everything. Because whatever it is you're tempted to not be thankful for, it's God's will for your life. He can use that to help you grow in your Christ-likeness. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not ignore Him. Listen carefully to Him. And do not despise prophetic utterances. Do not despise the sermon, but check it out. Make sure that what you've been taught is true. File that away. Ignore the rest. And don't let anyone take God's word and encourage you to evil, to in any way excuse sin. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately and communicated it clearly, but that we'll leave here with your word, what Paul has written under the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that what you have said is ringing in our hearts. To rejoice, to pray, to give thanks, to listen to the Holy Spirit, and then to listen as your word is taught, but listen critically, in a good way. Make sure that we are being taught well and right. Thank you, Father, for these commands. As a result of the reminder this morning, may we be more obedient and more useful in your service. we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.